Blog Talk Radio.
Wisconsin native Jake Suflon joins the 100 win club in Nebraska's route 24-10 over Minnesota. Number 18 ranked Iowa State upends number 5 ranked Virginia Tech 16-14 to capture the 2016 Virginia Duels title. Penn State hammers Indiana to remain undefeated at 34-8. Illinois defeat in-state rival Northern Illinois 27-14. Maryland captures their first Big Ten duel victory over Michigan State, 26-10. Iowa made history in their 54-0 victory on January 10th over Northwestern, which is a big shocker. Northwestern has a former national champion, so it's a huge task for Iowa to be able to do it. It's such a pretty tough program. And then Michigan's coming off two big victories for their program. Victory over Oregon State, 27-9 in the Joe Wells Classic. And they've also beat number 6, Ohio State, their rival, as everyone knows. They beat them 21-11 on Saturday evening, winning 7 out of 10 matches. So Michigan's got a bright future, going 2-0 in the Big Ten, 6-1 overall. Junior freestyle runner-up, Matten, commits to Michigan, second-ranked class of 2015. A 17 kid is now a Wolverine. So we have a lot of good information, a lot of good things going on in Big Ten and college wrestling right now. So we're going to shift gears. We're going to move over to MMA. According to SB Nation, a UFC releases a special T-shirt celebrating Conor McGregor's 13-second KO victory over Jose Aldo. Ladies and gentlemen, let's see what Jordan has to say about that. We're curious. Jordan, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, and you?
Pretty well, thank you. Thank you for coming on, taking the time to speak with us and whatnot. We're just talking about the special T-shirts the UFC released celebrating Conor McGregor's 13-second KO over Jose Aldo. What are your thoughts about that, that the UFC is releasing a T-shirt about that?
You know, I tell you this, I think it shocked the world. I had money on Aldo, and me and all the boys were at B-Dubs, and we were like, okay, we're going to put down $2 a piece. We had that cheap bet. and I won some money. So it was definitely exciting to see that to see that KO. But I think, are you asking more about the KO or the fact that they released that it was?
I'm just curious to the fact that they're, like, I feel like they haven't really done that for anyone else, really release a special T-shirt celebrating, like,
yeah,
a victory or anything.
Well, yeah. Oh, you know what? I think, yeah, I actually did see something about that. I mean, you gotta put it this way. Aldo ruled the 145 division. This is one man that couldn't be stopped. And McGregor came in, and I think he just shook him up, and he, you know, he showed no fear, and he went in there, and he knocked Aldo out 13 seconds. This is a guy who hasn't been finished in, like, over 10 years or something like that. I mean, this is just, it's nuts. I think the confidence, the build-up to the fight, and then, honestly, it's just the end result. The UFC, they probably made a bunch of money on those T-shirts, and, you know, it's is that the one where they show Muhammad Ali knocking out Joe Frazier, and then they have
The T-shirt that I saw, the photo I saw of it, and I'm going to post a copy of that on Carol's Corner MMA, and it's just 13 seconds, and then kind of has Conor McGregor's name on it, KO on it, and Jose Aldo's name on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a memorable. I think it's one of those things that's always going to stick out. You know, even for the next couple years, who knows what happens to Conor McGregor when he moves up to 155 pounds. But it's definitely one of those things that's going to stick out. People are going to want to buy those T-shirts. Some people are going to want to get those T-shirts signed by Aldo or McGregor or both. And, you know, like I said, it's just something, you know, it's crazy. Aldo came out of nowhere. Not Aldo, McGregor came out of nowhere. And, you know, he knew how to push all of Aldo's buttons he got in his head. And, you know, he went out there and he did it. So he forever made history, MMA history.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to jump in the conversation, if you have any questions for Jordan Griffin or want to jump in on any topics we're talking about, call in by dialing 213-943-3517. And the number is 213-943-3517. Please feel free to call in and join the conversation or tweet us a tweet at Giblitz, J-I-B-L-I-T-Z, 77. Or by posting on Carol's Corner MMA on Facebook. You think that the UFC is going to milk as far as they can the fact that McGregor has a whole nation in Ireland following him and supporting him. You think Dana White's just going to milk that as long as he can? Because, to be honest, I don't really see him beating Dos Anjos.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think win or lose against Dos Anjos, it's definitely going to set the bar. And, you know, if he beats Dos Anjos, then, you know, then the whole 155-pound division is on alert, you know. Then he's going to continue to pick out who he wants to fight. He's going to continue to get in everybody's head and in their face. Anjos, you know, just smashes them. Then, you know, hey, back down to 45 for you, you know. And it's really one of those things where even if he loses, he'll still be great, you know. He's just one of those guys that, you know, he has so many people following him. People love this guy. You know, he tells you what he thinks. He tells you when he's going to win the fight. He's telling you the rounds and, you know, how he's going to do it. And, you know, it's almost like he tells his opponents what he's going to do to them. And it's like he believes in it so much that his opponents start to believe in it. And then it just happens. You know, so that's a remarkable thing. And I think, you know, he has all of Ireland behind him. And, you know, he probably has majority of the U.S. behind him, too, you know, just. You know, everybody likes this guy.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And he has been calling people out, calling the rounds and all. He kind of reminds me similar to your teammate, Ben Askren, who's done that quite often, called out his opponents and talked how he's just going to walk across the cage, take them down, hold them down, and beat their face, and which he's done to majority of his opponents. Is there any similarities you see between him and maybe Ben Askren, other than the fact one's a striker and one's a wrestler?
I think Ben Askren's definitely, you know, he's the champ of talking the smack. And, you know, yeah, Ben's the same way. He's very talented. You got to be extremely talented to call when you're going to, you know, to say what you're going to do and then go out there and just do it. You have to be extremely talented and extremely confident in your craft. And, you know, Ben's confident in his craft. He's an amazing wrestler. He got a lot of things over the last couple of years. for not finishing, and then he went out there and he destroyed top level guys, you know, by finish. You know, so he's finishing them, holding them down, smashing their face in, you know, getting them pulled out, got those TKOs. I mean, those are big wins. So now he's over in 1FC. You know, they fly him all, you know, over to Asia to do 1FC, and he just had that last fight with what the hell is that guy's name? That Brazilian guy.
I know who you're talking about. I just can't ever pronounce his name.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but he ended up having that fight with that guy, and then the guy got poked in the eye. And then they, you know, they called it off, and then they gave the guy a rematch, and the guy didn't make weight. So it's really, it's one of those unfortunate things. And I think, honestly, I think it's because Ben got in his head, you know. Ben's willing, you know, he speaks his mind, and 99.9% of the time, whatever Ben says he's going to do it. You know, that's what I've learned from being around Ben, you know, over the last 2-3 years is, you know, if he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And, he's just very outspoken, and I love it, you know?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I'm a huge fan of Ben Askren. He's one of the greatest collegiate wrestling wrestlers of all time. So it's always nice to see him get in there and do well inside the cage, represent himself by his team, Rufus Sport, as well as wrestling as a community. So,
I mean, working with him has honestly, like, completely changed my game. And you know, it's crazy working with him to have that high level of wrestling. And,
yeah, amazing. Definitely. Iron sharpens iron, right?
Yeah.
So and then we have Nate Diaz was fined by the UFC in wake of his Reebok violation. I believe he was wearing like a T-shirt for like another sponsor, or to be honest, I'm not really sure. But I know he was quoted saying, "I don't need that baby ass shit anyway." I know he lost quite a bit of money when Reebok, as people call him Big Brother now, came in, made the deal with the UFC, as well as Cowboy Cerrone lost a lot of money in endorsements. So a lot of people aren't happy about that. Now we got Rafael Dos Anjos and Conor McGregor headlining UFC 197, Holly Holm and Misha Tate co-headlining at bantamweight title for 197. What are your thoughts on those fights?
You know, I think they're going to be good. I think Holly Holmes is going to smash Misha Tate. And the only reason that is because Misha's not good at coming in. Misha eats punches when she comes in. You know, even then when Rousey was able to close the distance on Misha, she took her down right away, you know. And it's really just one of those things where Misha's going to stand with Holly Holmes. Misha's going to get, you know, she's going to get outstruck by Holly Holmes. Holly Holmes is a world champion, you know, boxer. You know, she's the elite. She's been around for a long time, and she's really mastered her craft, and I think it showed when she knocked the champ out, you know, for giving Ronda Rousey her first loss. And then as far as Dos Anjos, I think he's just, you know, I think he's good. I think he's just all around good. You know, you saw when Mendez took down McGregor and then he gassed out. I mean, oh, well, I had a 2-week camp and this and that. And I guess you have to, you know, put that, you know, you have to kind of weigh your odds. But you're talking about a guy who he's the champ of his weight division. And you know, this guy's coming down. So Dos Anjos is going to be bigger. Dos Anjos isn't going to get tired. He hasn't looked tired his last couple fights. You know, he just looks, he looks the part, he's playing the part. And I think he's, all that trash talking, it's not going to, you know, he's Brazilian. Who knows if he even knows English? Does he know English?
You know what? I think he knows very little.
Yeah, see, so that stuff's going to go straight over his head. The trash talking's going to go straight over his head. He doesn't care. He's the champion. You're stepping in his territory. McGregor, you know, McGregor's just in a different ballpark. And on top of that, you know, we need Dos Anjos to keep that belt so my teammate Anthony Pettis can go smash Eddie Alvarez, and then he can go get his belt back and get his revenge.
Actually, that's exactly where I was headed next, was Anthony Pettis versus Eddie Alvarez this Sunday on Fox Sports 1. Tell us a little bit about what it was like watching Anthony Pettis training in camp and how he looks entering this fight.
He looks good. I just saw him today. You know, he looks cut up. He looks healthy. You know, the weight cut, he never really, from what I've seen, he never has any problems with the weight cut. He always looks in really good shape. he always has, you know, different people coming in to work with him. And then obviously, you know, he's working with Duke Rufus and he, you know, trains with the team and stuff like that. So I think he's just, you know, he's cutting weight smart and he's training smart. And that's the biggest thing is training smart to prep for a fight. A lot of fighters, you know, they go all out and then all of a sudden it's, hey, Dana, I can't fight because, you know, because I hurt myself in camp and did this and did that. Well, you know, that's money on the table and you're just throwing it away. You're throwing away a perfect opportunity. So I think he's just doing it smart. He wants his belt back, obviously. And I think Eddie Alvarez is a good matchup. You know, I think it's going to be a good matchup because, oh my God, sorry, I just went brain dead here. I think it's going to be a good matchup because Anthony's just so well-rounded. You know what I mean? Eddie Alvarez, you know, he's very, I haven't seen him fight in a while. I think I'm trying to remember when he fought Melendez. And did he win or lose against Melendez?
I believe he, to be honest, I'm not sure how he did against Melendez. That's something
I'd
have to look up.
All I know is this. The fact that we have to think about when's the last time he fought just shows his inconsistency. You know, and you feel bad for the guy because he, you know, he had to deal with all that Bellator going to UFC stuff. But it's just, he's just very inconsistent. He hasn't been in the cage in a while, or if he was, it was some months ago. And it's just very, you have to think about, you know, he's fighting a guy who could potentially fight for the title again. So, you know, that kind of has to weigh on him. It could be his shortcut to fighting for the title, beat Anthony, get a title shot. But at the same time, I just don't see it happening. I think just Anthony's just prepped too much for it. You know, he's already has plans for Dos Anjos, and we're just kind of playing it out. Who's naturally going to fight Dos Anjos if McGregor didn't fight? You know what I mean? I mean, they got rid of – he ran through Cerrone, and he beat Cerrone the same way Anthony beat Cerrone. And Cerrone cleared the whole division out. He fought every dude in like what, 5 weeks or whatever. He fought, like, every other week. He cleared the division out.
Yeah, that was, like, every 2 weeks he was fighting.
Yeah, exactly. And now he's fighting Tim Means. But not to get off track, but still, it's just like, you know, you got a guy like Cerrone who clears the division. The only two people to beat him, the same way, which is that body kick, is Anthony and Dos Anjos. I think Dos Anjos is going to run through McGregor, and you know, and then I think Anthony's going to run through Eddie Alvarez. Now, just in case it doesn't happen, I still think Anthony's going to run through Eddie Alvarez. Say, you know, Miracle Boy McGregor wins the fight. I still think everybody wants to see Anthony Pettis fight McGregor, and you know that's a big thing too. So it's it could go either way. It really could.
I think that would be one of the best matchups that they could actually possibly do because I think their fighting styles are very similar, but I feel like Pettis would have the edge if it went to the ground, which I really don't see either one of them taking it to the ground.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I really noticed about McGregor is his stance. He stands so wide, and the one thing I know about, you know, Duke, and you know, obviously my teammate Anthony is that you stand wide like that, you're getting your legs kicked out from underneath you. He's gonna eat that thigh up. If you leave
it out there
like that, it's just gone. Just say goodbye to it. So it's really one of those things where, it'd be a good matchup. You know, McGregor, is he going to walk forward on Anthony? I think Anthony's game is just too tight for him to you know, walk forward with his hands down. I think it'd just be a bad move, you know?
I would definitely agree with you on that one. Now we're going to switch to the title fight for this Sunday. TJ Dillashaw, Dominic Cruz, they're in your weight class. Who do you have winning this one? Dominic Cruz has been out for a long time.
You know what? I personally think it's not good. I think Dana's not going to say it, or if he has, then I just didn't read it. But I think that it's not in the UFC's best interest to have Dominic Cruz as the title holder. You know, he's just, again, he's inconsistent. The guy's hurt every other month. You know, it's almost like, and I don't know their finances. I don't know any of that stuff, but you got a champion who sits for a long time. What good is that doing anybody? You know, you might as well just freeze that division.
I agree 100% with you. That's why he was stripped of his title last time he lost
it. Exactly.
It's his injury.
Yeah, and TJ Dillashaw, you know, he's up and coming. He's made all these leaps and bounds. You know, he's the boss man now. He beat Henan Burrell, who nobody had beat him. Nobody saw. You know, he beat him twice, and he made the second time look easy. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where his confidence is up. The one thing I could tell you what the hell is his name? TJ and who's fighting again?
Dominic Cruz.
Dillashaw and Cruz. Cruz moves so much, and that's why, like I said, it'd be a real upset for Cruz to come back. I mean, Cruz would definitely be the champion then if he comes back and he beats TJ Dillashaw. And then also you got to weigh this in. Wasn't Mighty Mouse thinking about going up a weight class too? So did Mighty Mouse ever fight TJ Dillashaw?
I don't know if they have ever fought, but I know he was talking about moving up a weight class and trying to do the same thing McGregor's looking to do.
Yeah, but Cruz did defeat Mighty Mouse.
Oh, he has fought him.
Has he? Right.
That I'm not sure. I would have to look it up and see if I can find it.
Something I thought they had fought, maybe if they hadn't, but I think it'd be really exciting to see champ versus champ, Mighty Mouse versus TJ Dillashaw, or either Cruz. Personally, I'm a fan of Cruz's style. I like the way he moves his feet. I like the way he moves and stuff like that. But the guy breaks his ACL he's moving like that. He's moving so fast that he's breaking his ACL every corner he cuts. So he can't, it's not doing anybody any favors. It almost be better if TJ Dillashaw just, you know, he wins this next fight and he continues to put on good fights for the UFC in that division.
Yeah, and actually the last loss that I see for Mighty Mouse is against Dominic Cruz.
Yep, there you go. Yeah, so that's what I thought. I was pretty sure that's what it was. So, yeah, like I said, it kind of puts things – there's just more flow. If TJ Dillashaw wins against Cruz, there's more flow. There's more options. There's champ versus champ, and it's also the same thing with McGregor and Dos Anjos. You know, I think if either of those guys win, there's going to be flow. There's going to be, you know, Anthony getting his, getting his revenge match. And then, you know, on top of that, you know, let's just say McGregor wins. Then I think there's going to be a nice – I think they'd honestly probably make more money, Anthony versus McGregor, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's definitely –
Yeah, sorry, I cut you off.
No, it's fine. Like, Anthony Pettis is the only UFC fighter to be on the Wheaties box. That just shows how big Anthony Pettis was before he lost his title.
I still think he's big. I still think he's seen as an exciting fighter, as an exciting figure in MMA. He sets new bars. But at the same time, as far as like McGregor and Anthony, I feel like if Anthony beats McGregor, you have to think about this. We haven't seen the Diaz brothers versus Anthony Pettis, and McGregor has a very similar style. You know,
mm-hmm.
So it would kind of be like if he beat McGregor and it'd be like, you know, kind of shut up anybody else that was even thinking about the Diaz brothers stepping in there. Because I know the Diaz brothers have kind of been like, yeah, we want to fight Anthony and this and that too.
Yeah, I think they just want to fight anyone trying to get their they call out everyone, I feel like, to get a shot at the title. But this is a hell of a fight card they have stacked up. They got, and then after, before Anthony Pettis and Alvarez start the main events, you got on the main card Travis Brown versus Matt Mitrione, two heavy hitters. Ross Pearson versus Francisco Trinaldo. And then on the preliminary card, you have Patrick Cote versus Ben Saunders. My actually former high school wrestling teammate, Chris Wade, is battling, I think it's Switch. It was Transmovid, but now it's switched to, not sure who now, because I think the guy had to pull out for an injury. But Luke Sanders, Saunders is on there.
Luke Sanders, that's my guy. Actually, I met Luke. He came into Rufus Sport some months ago, and he trained with us, man. He's a big bantamweight, very big. He walks around at like 170, 175.
Oh, wow.
I swear to God. Yeah, this guy, he's like, I don't even know how tall he is, like 5'5 or 5'4. He's like a shorter guy, but he walks around that heavy, but not fat, like literally ripped. He looked like his chest was big. You know, he had like a six pack. I was like, holy shit, dude, how do you make like 135? It doesn't even make sense. So, yeah, he's going to be fighting up at 145 for the UFC and then probably making that drop back down. So,
okay,
it's
going
to be a good fight.
Before he came to Rufus 4, where was he training out of?
I'm not too sure. He just came up for like a weekend. He knows UFC fighter Dustin Ortiz.
Oh, okay, all right.
So they came up together, like as far as like when they started fighting, they started training together originally out in Tennessee, and that's all I really know about that is that they're like old teammates, old buddies. So
cool.
It's kind of cool to meet him because I followed him on the media, and I just like the way he fights. And me and him actually fought the same guy, Dan Moret. So it was when I was getting ready. You know, he had wished me luck, and I was like, hey, man, yeah, no, you know, and I fought Dan over in the RFA and stuff. So that's actually my last loss, so.
Yes, all right. And then, yeah, so we're going to shift gears to you now. You had a wonderful 2015. The year came to an end. You were 4-0 on the year. You got engaged. You won King of the Cage Top 10 Knockout of the Year. Jump right into it. Tell us a little bit about your 2015.
You know, it's just keep grinding. I had lost, you know, and I wasn't going to let it defeat me. And I had got new management, Jeremy Bjornberg from SCG Entertainment. And ever since I just met with him, it was crazy. Like I had known him for a while, and he took me on. And basically, you know, he goes, okay, you ready? I think I didn't actually fight till like March. And March or sometime after that. And it was 7 months. I won 4 fights in 7 months. And I won 2 titles within 2 weeks. So I fought 1 week, had 1 week off, and then fought for another King of the Cage title the week after and won that by a KO. And it's just good. King of the Cage treats me real good, and I like the relationship I have there. And what was I going to say? Actually, there's kind of talk about me moving down to 135. So the bantamweight title, it's weird. I have the bantamweight title right now, but technically that's 136 to 146. So the weight divisions are weird. Like they're just different. They have like a light welterweight and, you know, they just got different weight divisions. So I'm going to drop down and I'm going to fight for the 136 pound belt. Hopefully, I don't know yet. That's not like a guaranteed thing, but I know on my half at least, I'm going to be fighting on March 5th, defending my bantamweight title. And then after that, instead of gaining a bunch of weight back, I'm only going to probably gain about 10 pounds, walk around at like 55, 50, and then make, you know, I have a nutritionist and all that stuff, kind of make that cut down to 36, win that title. So I'll be a 2-time, hopefully, you know, mid 2016, I'll be a 2-time King of the Cage champion. In two different, or I'll be a 5-time King of the Cage champion in 2 different divisions. So, who knows? Who knows what dropping down to 36, if that'll, you know, get me into a bigger organization or not. But I'm not really in a rush to go anywhere. King of the Cage treats me really good.
That's awesome. So, March 5th, do you have an opponent still lined up, or they still haven't really found anyone?
They do have an opponent for me, but it's not. I haven't gotten the contract yet, and I can't disclose it till I get the contract.
Okay.
Because then it's not 100% sure, and, you know, I just can't let the word out yet. But, so it's kind of cool. Like, this last weekend I went out there and I met Terry – I forgot the owner of King of the Cage. His name's Terry Treblecock.
Okay.
Treblecock, I think so. But his name's Terry. And, you know, he's, oh, man, what I wouldn't do to see you down at, like, you know, 135 fight for the belt. And I'm like, yeah, we had been kind of talking about it, but, you know, it's like I'm 5'10", and I'm looking around, and I'm kind of looking at some of the other – there's some other fighters. And I'm like, I've seen a handful of other fighters on the higher levels who are my height and who walk around, you know, who fight at 135. So I think it kind of gives me a little bit of confidence that I can make it down. And these last couple cuts down to 45 have been really easy. So I think, you know, it's going to be hard – to make it, but I think once I make it a couple times and I'm comfortable with it, you know, it'll get easier as time goes on.
Yeah, definitely. Once you get down there, you know you could do it, right?
Yeah. Once I know I can do it, and then it'll be cool to just bounce back and forth. We'll see how many times they'll actually have me defending the title in 1 year. You know, I was telling Mike Camp, the matchmaker, I was saying, hey, you know, I want to fight 6 times this year, and I wouldn't mind going up to 155 and fighting guys up there. I actually originally wanted to fight up a weight class and fight the champion at 155. So basically, I'm just trying to dip my toes in anywhere. I want to build my record up. You know, I'm 12-4 right now. I've gone 11-1 in the last 3 years. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's one of those things. I just want to keep building my record up. I think 11-1 in the last 3 years, people look at my record and then they just see long win streaks, you know.
And yeah, that's impressive, 11-1 in the last 3 years. Not many fighters can say that, whether they're in the UFC, King of the Cage, or any other promotion. There's not many fighters that could say they went 11-1 in the last 3 years. Now, for all right, so March 5th's coming. You got engaged last year. Wedding plans, like anything outside the cage going on?
She's in school right now. She's getting her master's. So for special education, she just got a job, and she's kind of like setting her career up. And, you know, I'm in school, or I was in school, actually, and I'm taking a little break just because I feel like, you know, if I want to make these plans, I want to win the other title, I want to do this, I want to do that, that I don't have time for school, and I have clients, I'm a personal trainer. So I think we put it off to 2017, so we're going to be engaged for 2 years, and next year we're going to get married. It's 2016 already, holy crap. So, yeah. So we're in 2017, and I want to do it in the summer, so June or July, and it just makes more sense. We want it to be nice. We want it to be warm out. She originally wanted to have a winter wedding, and I was like, come on now.
In Wisconsin, too, right?
Yeah, right. I'm like, it's cold. Come on now. Let's not do that to people. So we're going to try to have something. She lives on a farm. She's from Whitewater, Wisconsin, so she wants to have something out in Whitewater on a farm. I want to have something in the city, and I think it's just kind of one of those things we gotta really plan for this. And I told her 1 year is not enough to plan. You want to go to school and you want to get your career set. Well, I think we gotta give this a little bit of time and save money. And I also said, you know, I get these fights, I save all my fight money, and we can use all the fight money for the wedding, you know. So little bit of initiative for me to want to go out there and crack some skulls and then get back in there right away and fight and just get in and out. And so yeah, that's pretty much what's going on with me right now. Another thing, by a buddy, I met this girl, honey. I met this girl through a friend, and you know, she became my friend, so now we're all hanging out. And then she met a guy, you know, they got married, they invited me and my fiance Elizabeth to their wedding. And so I met her husband, and his name's Ryan, and he actually approached me. You know, he does something over in Taipei, Taiwan, but he owns a house over there and he owns a house over here. And basically he was like, hey, would you ever, you know, want anybody to sponsor you, or, you know, looking for sponsorship and people help out and stuff like that. And so he's talking about helping me out with finding sponsors and supporting my training. So that's really exciting, and we're trying to get that in the works right now. So as far as, like, working and stuff, I might just be training full-time and just prepping, you know. I want to
awesome.
Be ready.
Good for you, Jordan.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's some big things coming for 2016.
Yeah, definitely. And I can only hope for the best and just keep working hard and, you know, keep eating salads, because I'm not going to make 36 eating anything else.
So the King of the Cage is the 10 knocks of the year. They were revealing it on December 22nd, they did. Tell us about your kick, or about the knockout that was on there, and what number or what place you landed on.
You know, it was really weird. They actually just showed all the knockouts of 2015, and I was like pretty close to the beginning of it. I was like midway through it, and then they showed me winning the title and stuff. And you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's cool that people got to see it, and some people hit me up and they're like, oh yeah, we saw your knockout on TV and that was crazy. And you know, after the fight show, you know, I got some people hit me up on Facebook and, oh yeah, man, we saw you fight, you're great. And so that's kind of cool to, like, get some recognition, have people get to know me. But, yeah, it wasn't – I thought it was going to be a countdown, but I guess it wasn't. And I'm not upset about it. I think as long as people got to see the KO – or, yeah, get to see the KO, and it was kind of crazy. Like, I pushed the guy's arm to the side, and I whipped around and just caught him so – I caught him dead on, and then after, as he was falling, I was already rushing him, and I got two hammer fists in after that, and the ref comes over and just, like, tackles me off of this guy because I was just seeing all red. So it was kind of cool to, you know, I don't know. I definitely think, like, I've been going to the KOTC fights, a lot of them lately, just to, you know, walk around and watch the fights and stuff, and people are like, dude, I still remember that one kick, man. You're a beast, and I'm just like, oh, thanks, you know. I don't know what to say. I'm like, awesome.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah, it is awesome. Now, you go to the fights because they have them all over the country, correct? So, are you going to, like, the ones that are just in the area, or are they bringing you out to ones across the country?
You know what? I haven't gone to any of them that are too far. I went to one that was in Minnesota this last week. And then I'm going to Iowa at the end of the month. So, you know, if they have them out in California or anything, maybe I'll end up going out there, you know, traveling out there, and I'll get some training in. And then, you know, it'd really be nice to see if they would do that for me and just, you know, make appearances and stuff. And they're pretty good about selling me and not selling me, but, you know, exposure. And I think, yeah, it's kind of cool. It's cool showing up to the fights and people know who I am and stuff like that. And I think it's something I have to definitely get used to, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah, well, King of the Cage, I know, is now being aired on Fight Pass, on UFC Fight Pass. So you'll probably earn some exposure there as well.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, they're on MAP TV. They're going to be on Fight Pass this year. And, yeah, I, you know what? I'm really happy. And I think the best – okay, best thing I ever heard, best compliment I got all of 2015. I got a lot of compliments, but this is the best one because it mattered from who it was coming from. Tim Means came to my fight, and he goes, man, that was an awesome fight. Yeah, Mr. Psycho, man, I love that name. He's a Psycho Hammer, Mr. Psycho. I love that nickname, and I was like, that's awesome. My jaw dropped, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. You're Tim Means.
That's badass.
So, yeah, that was the best of 2015.
That's awesome, man. That's congrats. Yeah, you had a great 2015. You know, I wanted you to talk. I know I wrote an article about it, and it's kind of made a little bit of way on the internet about your move you made up. We talked quite a bit about it, the one that you sent a video to us on My MMA News. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, the Dirty Dog?
Yeah, the Dirty Dog.
It's going to go viral. It's going to go viral. When I do it live, I'm going to do it live on TV one day, and everyone's going to look at me and be like, what's wrong with this kid? And then they're going to be like, we love it. It's awesome. Basically, I wear a steel cup from Combat Corner. And, you know, that's my sponsor, Combat Corner. They make steel cups, and I love those things too. And I wear the steel cup. Me and the opponent are north-south position, and he's facing up. And, they, you know, obviously it's illegal to hit an opponent in the back of the head. So I figured, what if you got this person face up and you just grind your cup into their face, like hump them in the face? Now you're getting hit with a steel cup, so – We're talking knots, you know. You're busting someone's face up just by humping them. Yeah, it might not look, it might look questionable. But as long as I get that win, that's all that matters is winning. That's what I was told when I started.
That Dirty Dog thing is one of the funniest things I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, and then I gotta tell him as I'm doing it to him, I gotta tell him you gonna get the business.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
The Dirty Dog. I think you got to get a t-shirt up there for that, the Dirty Dog.
I know, right? And Yeah, well, people aren't gonna know what to call me then. Oh, the dirty, because I have some people call me the dirty dog, and then other people be like Mr. Psycho, whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, man, I think Dirty Dog's just gonna blow up. Dirty Dog might take over Mr. Psycho, and you know, if it does, it does. Then it's whatever. it's a cool move.
Yeah, oh, it's hilarious. I find it absolutely hilarious. Now, you have T-shirts you sell and whatnot for your fights and all. You want to tell everyone, the fans, they could find your T-shirts?
You know what? It's called Eliminate Fight Gear. And it'll be on a website, or they're going to have a website, so you could just type in, like, eliminatefightgear.com and look up Jordan Griffin or Psycho Hammer, and you should be able to find it. I'm trying to find it right now on my phone real fast. Give me two seconds here.
Whenever you find a link for it, if you want to send it to me, I'll put it up on with the link of the show when I put it, a post up after. I'll put it up there with it so people could find it if they want.
Awesome. Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd definitely be cool. And then, but yeah, other than that, I'm sponsored by Eliminate Fight Gear, and I really like the design that they came out with. It's pretty sweet. And then DC Vinyl too. They make me T-shirts, and the hoodies that he made for me are really cool. So you can go to DCVinyl.com, and they have hoodies on there for sale that are pretty sweet.
Awesome. All right, I'll have to check that out. Now you want to tell us about Rufus Sport? I know when I was up there living in Wisconsin, I covered a handful of fighters, Mikey Biggie Rhodes, Dustin Ortiz, yourself, a handful of other fighters. I feel like Rufus Sport's very, I don't want to say underrated, but I guess like maybe overshadowed by some other gyms across the country, because there's a lot of talent that is inside that gym at Rufus Sport. You want to tell us about that? What kind of... how there is so much talent in there, and what you guys do, what's your recipe for success in there?
I just think it's the coaches, and they're always looking for innovative ways to doing things, and they're always pushing us, and it's really one of those things where, you know, they're not pushing us the bad way, you know, obviously they're just always motivating us. And I think the biggest thing is having Anthony Pettis there, you know, is, you know, he's the leader. He's the one showing us, hey, man, this is possible. You know, I did it. You know, so it's one of those things where, you know, he's just opening up the doors. You can't help but have just nothing but confidence when you're in there. You're working with high-level guys, and I think we kind of all just feed off of each other, you know. The confidence is just there. The technique is there. Obviously, we have the knockouts to show for it. We have the athleticism to show for it. You know, we have the technique. We have it all. And, I think it's just one of those things where, yeah, you know, maybe we're not getting as much publicity as you know, Alpha Male or any of these other gyms. But at the end of the day, we do have champions in our camp, and you know, they're known around the world. We got Ben Askren. We had Anthony Pettis, the WEC champ, the recent UFC champ, and he's gonna get his belt back. You know, we have Mike Biggie Rose. He was the RFA champion. Sergio Pettis was the RFA champion, too. Ben Askren was Bellator and 1FC, now he's 1FC champion, and the guy's undefeated. So it's just one of those things, you know. And then, you know, obviously you got me. I'm a King of the Cage champion, and it's just one of those things where, you know, we got way more. Oh, wait, yeah, we had Eric Koch, who was supposed to fight for the title at one point, you know. So, I mean, we have top contenders. We have top guys, you know, top 10 in their divisions. And I think it's just one of those things where, I don't know, I think 2016, we're going to blow up. People are going to get those big wins, and Rufus Sport's going to blow up, and that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I know one of my good friends, O'Day Osborne, he now training with you guys at Rufus Sport.
I just saw him today.
Yeah, he's a good guy, talented kid as well. Fights at bantamweight. I'm not sure if he has plans to go into 125 or anything like that. I know he's fighting on January 30th, I believe, at the same fight card that Mike Biggie Rhodes is fighting on.
North American Fighting Championships.
Yep, NASC. I'm looking forward to seeing what a lot of Rufus Sport fighters have to come in the next year or so. Because, like you said, you just named a whole ton of them. And then Woodley goes down there too, right? Tyron Woodley?
Yeah, Woodley's been coming down and working with Duke Rufus and working with, some of the other coaches, getting his hands straight. You know, he has a lot of big things coming. And with the UFC, we don't know yet as far as what his title, if he's going to be in title contention for the next, for the next title fight. We don't know that yet, but, there is word of it. And so, he has a lot of big things coming, and obviously this guy flies across, he flies to Milwaukee, Wisconsin when it's super cold and the weather, the weather's not the best, and, he's here to train. So it has to say something. We've gotten other guys in too. People fly from all over the world to our gym just to meet Duke and just to meet some of the other fighters that are there and to be able to train with them. And I think it says a lot,
And then you also have another addition, superstar in the WEE or the WWE, excuse me, is CM Punk. He's over there training as well at Rufus Sport.
Yeah. Me and him, actually, there's a picture on Twitter right now. If you want to check it out, me and him got promoted today. We both got some stripes on our belts in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu under Daniel Wanderlei.
Nice, congrats. That's a pretty sweet accomplishment to get some stripes on the belt for your Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I did actually just wrote an article about a couple of fighters that just fought in Philadelphia. One of them is from New York, one's from Jersey. They're talking about fighting CM Punk because Dana White's doing the Looking for a Fight show on YouTube.
Yeah.
He's trying to find people to for the next opponent to debut against CM Punk. Is there any word on how his progress is coming along in there?
He's looking good. He was, like I said, he's been in the gi. He's been striking. He was at striking practice today, sparring. He's looking good, and I think he's feeling confident. And I think it's kind of like one of those things. He was injured, and then after he was injured, now he's better. I think it kind of boosts your confidence, wakes you up when you finally do get an opponent. You can kind of start planning. You know what I mean? Planning for that individual. So I think it's exciting once they really do find out who he's going to fight and what he's going to do.
Awesome. Yeah, we're all looking forward to that. Ladies and gentlemen, Jordan, you want to tell us real quick how someone can find you on social media or on Facebook and if they want to follow you?
Yeah, definitely. On Facebook, you can just find me at Jordan Griffin, JORDANGRIFFIN. And then on Twitter and Instagram, you can find me at JGriff, JGRIFFMKE. And is it JGriff MK? Oh, my God. I have to check. I'm going to have to check real fast. I'm like, oh, man.
Well, while you're checking real quick, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to find the article to this afterwards, just go on to MyMMANews.com. I'll be putting this up inside an article, as well as looking on the Carol's Corner MMA on Facebook, on Twitter as well. And then find me on Twitter on JIBLITZ77 for Twitter. Instagram's Carol's Corner or My MMA News. You'll find us there as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, please definitely check out Jordan Griffin, bantamweight champion for King of the Cage. He's 11-1 in the last 3 years, which is remarkable. Went 4-0 in 7 months over 2015. Fighting March 5th, 2016 for King of the Cage, defending his title. So be sure to tune in for that. Anything else you want to add, Jordan?
Yeah, I did have it right. It was JGriff MKE, and that's my Twitter and Instagram account. And then also I'd just like to thank my family and friends. I'd like to thank all my Rufus Sport family, obviously, and all the coaches and all my teammates. I couldn't have made it this far. When I started out, I was 1-3. I was digging myself out of a hole, and these last couple of years have been really hard, but they're only getting easier, and I'm really enjoying the training. And then also, I'd like to thank all my sponsors. I've built up a good amount of sponsors, people who support me, and they believe in what I'm doing, and they think I can make it to the next level and fight the best and be the best in the world. And I think that's the final goal, is I want to be number one in the world, and they believe I can do it. So I'd like to thank DC Vinyl Apparel. I'd like to thank Daniel Wanderlei's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I'd like to thank Top Line Strength and Conditioning, Elite Nutrition, Vitamins, Combat Corner, Race Start Training, Central Media Design, Straight Clowning Inc., Karma Bar and Grill in downtown Milwaukee, SEG Entertainment, Rufus Sport, obviously, Damage Control, one of my newer sponsors, Damage Control Mouth Guards, they're awesome, Grime Official Skateboards, and then Save the Best for Last, King of the Cage. I'd really like to thank King of the Cage and MAB TV, and I'd really like to thank, you know, Duke Rufus, Scott Cushman, Daniel Wanderlei, and Joe Nichols, my coaches, and Mike Camp, the matchmaker over at King of the Cage. He's done a lot for me, and then also Jeremy Bjornberg, my manager over at SCG Entertainment.
Awesome. Jordan, it's a pleasure to have you on. As always, I always enjoy talking to you. Good luck in 2016 and on March 5th. We'll definitely, I'm sure, talk again before the fight comes. We'll have to have you on once we find out who your opponent is. It's a pleasure, as always.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, thank you. Take care, Jordan.
Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap up for tonight's show. So I hope you enjoyed the interview with Jordan Griffin, and enjoy the rest of the evening. Adios. And I have upset coming in tonight's championship game. Clemson's going to beat Alabama in a close one. So I'm going to put 31-29 is I'm going to put the score for the game. So 31-29, Clemson takes it. Enjoy, ladies and gentlemen.
I got 99 problems, and they all bitches. Wish I was digging, man. Carefree living, but I'm not Sean or Martin Louis. I'm the Cleveland nigga, rolling with the rookin' boy. You know how I be when you start living large. I control my own life, Charles was never in charge. No sitcom can teach Scott about the drama, or even explain the troubles that haunted my mom. On Christmas time, my mom Christmas grind, got me most of what I wanted. How'd you do it, mom? Huh? She got the toys I would play with in my room by myself, while he by himself. He got two older brothers, one hood, one good. Independent, know the sister kept me flying when she could. But they all didn't see the little bit of sadness in me, Scotty. I've got some issues that nobody can see, and all of these emotions are pouring out of me. I bring them to the light in you. It's only right. This is the soundtrack to my life. Since my father died, I ain't been right since. And I tried to piece the puzzle of the universe, split an eighth of shrooms just so I could see the universe. I tried to think about myself as a sacrifice, just to show the kids they ain't the only ones who up at night. The moon will illuminate my room, and soon I'm consumed by my doom. Once upon a time, nobody gave a fuck. It's all said and done, and my cock's been sucked. So now I'm in the cut, alcohol in the womb. My heart's an open sore that I hope heals soon. I live in a cocoon opposite of Cancun, where it is never sunny, the dark side of the moon. So it's more than light.